Boom, motherfuckers. Here we go.
The following program is rated MALSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences. Discretion advised.
Legit song, man.
Oh, those guys are glorious. Once again, we are back. Not going to say a date or time for this, so we're going to do our own thing here, but that's Valera. Once again, they're coming up. They've announced the venue. They've got everything set in stone for this, but we're not here about Valera tonight. You know what we're here about, Mr. David?
Hi, everybody.
We are here to learn about each other. A little intimate podcast.
Intimation.
A little one-on-one. So I don't know if you guys have previously heard the 101s, but I think they're amazing because I host and do them. I think they're great.
Yeah, think you were awesome. There for them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Normally, and so are you.
Normally I reach out for a duet song. I've used Let's Duet. I've used a couple
of
others.
Let's Duet.
But Valera owns my soul right now because of the reunion, and it's going to be awesome. And we're proud to announce that they've either been on the show or they're coming on the show. One of the two. But I'm pretty sure this will come out before then, so... Welcome to a one-on-one with David. A lot of people are like, who's this David guy? Where the fuck did he come from? Why is he on your show? We want Caitlin. We want Jay. And I'm like, yeah, screw you guys. They don't know anything about beer or life or anything in general. We don't like them. So we've got David. David's way better than both of them rolled in together.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm different. I've got like one of those like guy voices.
You're way better than both of them rolled in together. You actually have a much better voice than me and Rody together, so... Welcome to being
our...
Yeah, you're currently our radio voice.
Oh,
so,
damn.
Like, if I had to do promos and stuff, I would be like, David, hey, come on.
So, here. Like, when my voice cracks like that, it's probably pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, but my... Oh, no, you're doing the, shoot. What is... Andy Samberg, I Love You Man, where he plays the gay brother.
Yes. Yeah,
and he finds that friend that loves soccer.
This is awesome! This is awesome! Good soccer game!
He's like, I'm going to
catch you on the flip side.
Yeah, we're going to pick up some chicks. It's going to be awesome. That's the voice that you're doing, and I think you're doing it very well.
That's how I do.
So tonight, David and I have been fortunate enough because of our good friend, Donald Rody, who we love and adore with all of our lives, have been given the chance to sample some
mullet cutter.
And what that means is Revolver went around and cut a bunch of dudes' mullets off and stuck it in their batch of allergies, much like J-Webb. And we're able to come out with this awesome IPA.
That was a complete bastardization of what actually happened.
Mullet Cutter is a double IPA. It's all business. It's brewed with a ridiculous amount of Weyermann Abbey malt for a...
Weyermann, yep.
That's with a V?
It's German.
Oh, damn it. Thank you. That's why you're here. It's a slight beer... I'm done.
And the handoff goes to Mr. David. This double IPA is all business, brewed with a ridiculous amount of Weyermann Abbey malt for a slight honey sweetness. This beer is finished with 3 kettle hops: Summit, East Kent Goldings, and Brambling Cross, dry hopped with Citra.
Citra.
Boom.
Citra's good. So
that's quite a bit of English hops in there. That's East Kent Goldings, Brambling Cross. And then you've got nice American Citra.
There you go. And I know I've had this before somewhere, but who cares? Today is going to be the day where I pretend that I've had this for the first time and sample it.
It's Revolver's double IPA. I think this may have been either their first or second anniversary ale that they came out with. And it got a huge response, and people wanted it and liked it. And so they thought, well, shit, let's put it in Bombers.
Let's put it out there. Let's get it on.
Boom.
Delicious. Just had my first sip. Delicious. Mullet Cutter. It's in Bombers. They don't do 6-packs. Go get you a Bomber. I know all you Revolver heads. We have a lot of them. We do. Trust me. We have a lot of Revolver heads that listen to this show. Go pick up Mullet Cutter. It's an IPA, and you guys that don't like IPAs, I'm going to try it again. Okay, I lied. There's a bit of bitter in there. There's a lot of people that won't like that.
It's 80 IBUs, but it's got to balance a little bit against all the sweetness that's in it with the Abbey malt. You get a lot of that honey sweetness, like the description was saying. It's got a nice reddish brown hue to it. Very clear, very nice. Even after a pour a couple minutes ago, I've got a nice little amount of foam on there.
A little foam.
It's pretty nice. Double IPA, so it's probably going to hit me pretty soon.
Okay. Yeah, I'm cool with that. What's the percentage on this? Do we know ABV?
ABVizzle.
5, 8,
up in the 9-izzle.
9%. 9 percentile cut me off. I just chugged a 9 percentile. I got, speaking of being cut off, so today at we went to Division, me and David, also Rody, and a bunch of other people. Mm-hmm. Maybe we weren't there at the same time, but it doesn't matter because we had the same beers.
Amanda was there. Experience.
Caitlin was there. Lisa was there. Yep. I got a lovely exclamation mark after my last beer, so I'm not sure how to take that, Wade. I'm pretty sure that was a stop drinking right now before you die or something. Obviously, it was a
warning.
It was a precursor to the rest of my night. Mm. Should have listened to the explanation point, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But David finally got to step foot in what is glorious and amazing Division.
Yes, finally. After a month, I did not get to make their first grand opening. I had family obligations, but then they were kind enough to have another big grand opening party today. And finally made it in, had a couple of pints of all the delicious beer they had there. They've got quite a selection. I chose the more esoteric beers that most people probably wouldn't gravitate towards. I had the Berliner Weiss, which they were offering today with a raspberry and orange puree, which was fantastic. It's called 48er.
I didn't get to try that.
Dude, it was awesome. Dirty. It was pretty good. Then I had, of course, fan favorite Rosalie, which is a wit that they brew with hibiscus. Very, very delicious and very beautiful pour, too. It's very, very red, almost pink. So it's very unique. It's easy to pick out of a crowd. And then, of course, I had their chocolate squeeze. No, what's it called? Christmas squeeze. Xmas squeeze, which is their Christmas stout that they put orange peel in. We talked a little bit about that last episode. Dark chocolate and orange.
So amazing.
And it tastes just like a Terry's chocolate orange. And I think we talked about it last time. They weren't really completely satisfied with the flavor. This time, I think it was liquefied Terry chocolate orange. It was perfect.
It was to the point that he who will not be named, because I said his name 100 times on the last episode, was like, why didn't you tell me to try this? And I was like, me and Rody both did. Slap.
Oh, shit.
And then that was the end of that conversation. No. No. We're not. I'm not naming them. Not falling for this trap. But yeah.
Very, very good beers.
They're unstoppable. Get your freaking tails out there. We're going to do something with them huge.
Seriously, if I was talking to each one of you for the first time in my life, I would bring up Division because they're fucking delicious. They're amazing.
We'd bring up Division. We're going to get into more of this here in a little bit, so it's going to be entertaining.
Cool.
David. So David and I, as most people don't know, we're going to get in a little bit of this. David and I were fortunate enough to be drawn together by nature. This is what, remember my nature raps? Thank God that's all cut out and you guys will never hear any of that. But nature has a mysterious way of working out sometimes, in my opinion.
True.
I believe in that. It's weird.
Absolutely.
I believe that things happen and it was crazy because we met Wade and Sean for a Division because Rody stuck his, he was like, I'm going to put an email out here. I was like, okay, cool. And I met, because of Division, I met Jordan, who was on one of our episodes previously, Beardos. I met all these kinds of people, and Rody put his name in the email, and it just went everywhere, and somehow we bonded with Sean and Wade to a point where I didn't think was even possible. It's like, hey, man, you guys make great beers. Would you like to come talk about it? And all of a sudden, there's this connection beyond beer. It's like, oh, you guys are cool. You guys are cool. You guys are cool. Bonded. And they're like, hey, come out here to a tasting. We went there tasting, had a good time, so we come back later. And for some reason, it's still beyond me why Wade decided that me, and I mean, maybe you're different. I'm that's for no, trying dude. To speak for you. I had no idea why Wade reached out to me like, hey, man, come try this awesome, rare IPA that I got from California. I
was seriously, when that message came through, I think I had been friends with Wade for like maybe a week on Facebook. And we were having just a shitty weekend. Like, the day before that, like, we were hanging out with our friends and everything. Amanda nearly got ran over by a goddamn car when we were, like, riding our bike. She almost got, like, just laid the hell out on her freaking bike. And so we had, like, a couple other things happen that weekend that made it just kind of bad. And we were, like, I forgot. We were in, like, a fucking Hobby Lobby or something. And Wade messaged me. He's like, hey, this is from that guy that's starting a brewery in Arlington.
Yeah.
He's like, you should totally come out to the house tomorrow. We're trying Pliny the Elder, which I, you know, for those of you who don't know, literally is the holy grail of beer. Like, yeah. It's been the top of the, you know, American craft beer list for a very long time, like right. 6-7 years, something like that. I'd never had it before because you can only pretty much get it like over in California.
And yep,
I've been there like once when I was a kid. So he texted me that, and then we go there the next day. And it's like this amazing house, super down to earth people, great freaking beer. Like, I mean, we had that beer, which was really good in itself. And then we had all of the amazing, we had Tres Cranios for the first time, Frankenfroth, we had Ben Stout, you know, Christmas Morning. Like, we had all these amazing beers hanging out with the brewer of the next big thing. Like,
right.
It was really surreal. Like, we left there, and I'm pretty sure we giggled for, like, a minute straight.
It's like, how did this happen? Yeah. It made no sense. I mean, Caitlin and myself, well, Rhodey got invited, and I got invited, and Rhodey couldn't make it. I was like, oh, fuck. And then I had to argue with myself. Am I going to go? Because, you know, me and Rhodey have always, we're the buddies. You know, unfortunately, my wife doesn't like craft beer as much as Rhodey, my craft beer buddy. And we were always like, hey, we got to go everywhere together. And I told Rhodey couldn't make it. I was like, hey, I'm going to go. He's like, cool, have fun. And we was going to try to snake him some Pliny. But,
yeah.
And we're going to deal with that later. We're going to get Rhodey some Pliny.
We'll get some Pliny.
Yeah, we're going to get that done.
That's going to happen. We're getting out the show.
Ken was like, let's go. So we drove over there. We were like, oh, this is going to be so weird. We walk in the house. We're just like, hey, we're here for the beer. And I had, Wade and Sean don't know, but I had craft beer in my car because I'm that kind of guy. I always bring beer.
You got to bring beer.
I don't walk in a place like, I'm here to drink your beer. I had craft beer in the car, but I didn't want to walk in. And that's the weird thing. You don't want to insult somebody. You walk into a brewery. You're like, I'm not here to drink your beer. I'm here to hang out with you because I respect you and love you.
Right.
You know, I've dealt with that with Michael. Yeah. I've dealt with it with Ryan.
Two shows ago when we were at Division, all of us brought beer because we didn't want to be like, hey, we're here to, you know, tap your freaking kegs and float everything.
Yeah, that's
we're here to hang out with you guys because you're genuinely awesome people.
And we also wanted to show you new beers because we know how much you love it.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, we all brought something that they'd never had before or hadn't had in a very long time. And we had just an amazing time cracking some beers with them. I mean, we also obviously had some of their beer because they're not dicks and they totally shared.
But yeah, so I had beer in my car that they never knew about. But because when we were leaving, Ken's like, you don't, we're like, should I bring some? So I just put a couple of six packs in the car. I was like, well, this is the right thing to do. And you want to know, for everybody that's out there, whenever you have a party to go to or a beer share, that I personally think the go-to beer is Sellerman's Reserve. You're like, wait, that's Martin House. Wait. That beer is different every month.
Exactly.
So you could be in a super comfortable huddle where everybody's like, well, I've had that. You're like, oh, wait. When did you have this? Or like 2 months ago, you ain't had this.
Right. That's exactly the case. Because anytime I go to Torchy's, they always have Sellerman's on, but it's always different.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, obviously if they've got the same keg, it's the same beer. But it's an IPA that they make, but they make it with a different hop every time. Mm-hmm. And it's a single hop, so it showcases that one. You get a lot of the flavor. You get exactly the bitterness you're expecting from that hop. And then they do the late additions where you get the aroma, you get the flavor. It's a different character every time. Honestly,
you can't. Yeah,
first one I've had, you know, it was some different hop. I think it was like Centennial once. It was Cascade once.
I've had Brewer's Gold, I think.
Brewer's Gold, yep. Yeah. I had one. Honestly, the good thing about this beer, and also maybe the bad thing, you definitely understand certain flavors that you do not like. I had one yesterday. Unfortunately, I love that they're doing that with that beer.
Yeah.
I did not at all like the hop that I got. I drank the whole glass because I thought maybe as it warmed up, I'd get a different character.
No.
Ended up not really liking it. But that's the gamble that they make. And honestly, it's kind of brave as a brewery to just put something out there, make it that obvious, and just let your craft beer drinkers, your fans, decide whether or not they like your beer.
That's why. Well, I mean, you're right. But it also, it makes me go back every month, because if I see a difference, like I probably wouldn't go to that beer. Probably wouldn't all the, I'm an experimenter, much like yourself. Oh, there's all these other beers. But I see a different sticker on top of it, and I grab it. It's like, hey, that's not a, so it's able to sell itself more. But the reason I say that's a good beer to bring to a crowd, because you're not going to walk in there, 9 times out of 10, everybody's got that new beer, that new Carbach, that new beer that you've never, someone's going to have that. But they're like, oh, I didn't get Solomon's because I had that last month. You're like, you didn't have this.
Nice.
So that's what
special
I had.
Special editions.
Yeah, that's what I had in my car. So, but we went in there and did all that stuff. It was fun. Met everybody. And then I met David, which was crazy.
It was a good time.
This is David. And then I met Amanda. And me and Amanda went to a corner and had this long, awesome craft beer talk. We were so drunk. And I was like, you guys get it. You get the consistency. You get the love of beer. And I found out David was a home brewer, and we all hung out. We were in that back area where it was super hot, and I don't know why. We were all back there talking for like 2 hours.
That's kind of weird. I guess I was like standing in front of a fan or something.
And it was just so awesome. Like, it was, and you never know where you're going to meet your new friends, your new partners, your new business partners. You're like, yeah.
And yeah, honestly, I had no idea what to expect. Like it was just like a message out of the blue. Hey, come try this amazing beer at my house. I, you know, half expected to get murdered in this really cool house, which, I mean, would have been fun for the crime scene investigators because it's a pretty cool house. Yeah. But like we came in there, super nice people. Tammy and Wade, seriously, honestly, nice, beautiful people.
Can't say enough.
They invited us into their home. We had some of their homebrew. You know, walking in there from a homebrewing standpoint, he had the holy grail. I mean, he had his brew shed. He had amazing setup as far as like, you know,
chalkboard with all the names.
Yeah, he had like a nice, a deep freeze that he had set up to the right temperature to where you could serve beer out of. He had multiple kegs of beer. He had an amazing homebrew setup. Like, you walk in there and literally angels are singing. You're like, oh. This is what I want.
And we were all drinking the Pliny, and it was like,
drinking
this
the
is
Pliny,
great.
Drinking the Tres Carneos.
I'm not sure if they, I was about to say, I'm not sure if they just laid back or what, but they were like, you guys want to try some of our stuff? And, and then the kegs cracked, and we were like,
you guys like that? Try our secret stash.
And the party just got off the hook, and it was a Sunday, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right, so, it was.
Whoa, this is beyond my normal Sundays, and we just had a blast, and it was amazing. And then I left there, and I'm pretty sure... From that point, it wasn't too long that I texted Rody and was like, oh, this David guy, he's awesome. And then, where did we hook up the second time?
BFF.
Oh, we got you. Me and you, BFF, in the uncomfortable death of a friend.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was...
Unfortunate.
That was. I thought that had totally gone south, and I was like, well, shit, you know, there's
that's
a dead end.
I felt terrible. Yeah, because we had been texting each other, talking to each other. Yeah. We've talked about this on the podcast, but I had to go... I was doing something, and then Dave was like, come, you want to meet up? And I was like, hell yeah, let's meet up. And we went to a BFF down here, and during the BFF conversation, I was like, here, we're having a... You know, it was like a personal meeting, and some old classmate of mine died.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa. It was weird.
It was like a whirlwind of emotion. Like, I didn't know you at that point, but now, like, thinking back on it, I was like, what a fucking awful and terrible situation to be in on your part, man.
I want to say that if anybody dies, don't text message somebody. I'm throwing that out there for all you listeners. Don't text message somebody. Yeah. Call them, and that way they can ignore it and call you back.
That's true.
Text message, I'm
either that or you can... appropriately respond, because you don't respond to someone you grew up and went to school with like, oh, LOL, that sucks. Like, you need to talk with someone and have dynamic conversation,
right?
Like, that's not just a 140 right. characters.
That's right.
You don't process shit like that.
And I'm pretty sure that by the end of that, I think I had said you should come on the show. I'm not sure. I think I did.
You did.
Yeah.
And then
we rolled out from there. And then
sounded like a, you know, you should come on the show. I got to go deal with this. Yeah, so weird. I was like, well, you know.
It was unfortunate because it was somebody that I hadn't talked to in a long time. Not the death, but there was someone that was reaching out to me that I hadn't talked to in a long time, plus the death. I was like, good Lord. This is really weird. Like, all these emotions in my head. I was like, ugh. And then I was like, okay, I'm trying to put this aside. Let's talk to David. And we were having fun. That's where we got that Christmas in July.
We got the Christmas in July, and I think if I remember correctly, that was the only beer I had that night. Wait, no, well, I might have had sit down or I'll sit you down.
Yes,
I think I had a small one of that, and then Yeah, and then I had that Christmas in July.
You drove safely home.
I did.
Like an adult. Adulting is fun. Adulting is good.
Truth.
But yeah, we did that, and then I got him on the show, and then he finally got to meet Rhodey, and now him and Rhodey are better friends than us, and I always lose all my friends to Rhodey, and I hate my life. This is risk cutting 101. Rhodey's way cooler than you. Rhodey, I'm sorry to you, but not Jason.
Oof. Macaroni grill.
Fuck.
So that's a funny story. We'll deal with that on mine and Rhodey's next one-on-one. But that was awesome, and then we got you on the show, and then the whole time you were on the show, I was like, I really want to reach out and be like, hey, you want to be on the show permanently? But I was like holding back, you know, you're just like, yeah, we'll call you next week. And then you left. I was like, Rhodey, can we get him on the show permanently? Please.
Dude, it's like a fucking blast. Like, honestly, to be 100% honest, I never even really gave podcasts like a second thought. I heard that word before. I never really anticipated, you know, podcasts just being people passionately talking about what they like.
Right.
I thought podcasts were, you know, pay for radio. And so I had never, ever listened to any kind of podcast of any sort.
Never?
Ever. I mean, I listen to radio a lot because I have a commute every day. It's 45 minutes to work and about an hour home.
Yes, sir.
And my wife has it much worse. She's about 40 minutes, or 30 to 40 minutes to work and about an hour to an hour and a half home, depending on traffic. It's shitty. You need to fill the time with something.
Right.
And most of the time we talk to each other, but if we've got a show, you know, to listen to, if we've got something entertaining, we both want to take part in it, so we both listen to it, and then we got something else to talk about.
That's...
So I listened after our first meeting. I listened to your podcast.
You went backlogging on me.
I did.
That scares me.
Well, but you know, at that point, you only had a couple of shows out
on purpose.
So yeah, by design. But I listened to I forget what I even listened to. But I was like, dude, these people know how to have a good time. I mean, at that point, like I said, not an expert on podcasts, but I knew that I was listening to, you know, people really fucking enjoying what they like.
Yeah, and when
that's what I wanted to bring to the show. Having me on, you know, at that point, you were bringing me on as a guest for New Main Brewing and talking about our home brew and talking about our blog and, you know, Labor of Love at Deep Elm and then Operation Bravo.
What's funny is one of the talking points of meetings behind your back were when you had brought up previous episodes. I was like, this dude went back and listened to our catalog.
I don't fuck around, man. Like, I mean...
And then I think, like, whenever we were going to branch off, we can discuss this partially. Whenever we were going to branch off and do these different shows, what happened with that was, I'm going to branch off, I don't care. What happened with that was people couldn't do what we were doing anymore. We sat down, we had sex talk, we had cursing, we had all this massiveness, and people couldn't handle it anymore. My wife had some stuff she had to do, and Jay had a baby, and... And so we had to, what I had to do was, as the creator, holder of everything, I kind of freaked out and I was like, I don't want to lose these people. I don't want to lose Kaylin. I don't want to lose Chris. I want everybody to have fun. And that was the other thing that I was always worried about that every day. I'm worried about people having fun. I don't want anybody to walk in here and sit down and be like, ugh, I don't want that. I love you guys.
Transmits well.
Mm-hmm. And I love everybody. I don't want to, you know, it's like, it's so hard because I am responsible. And I like to build this thing and make it successful. So I'm like, well, hey, man, I kind of need you to research this, or I need you to do this. And I don't like doing that. And I didn't want it to be that way. And so I got kind of overworked. And then when we lost pieces of the puzzle, it basically came down to where it was me, Rhodey, and Chris. And I was like, well, it's like this. I was like, oh, this is going to be tough. And no, nothing to those two, but it was going to be tough. It's going to be tough to be Atypical DFW Podcast and keep... I want to be able to branch out. And
there's a place for everything else, though.
Yeah, I don't.
I being who I am, I'm not a huge comic book nerd. I actually own like two video game systems that I barely touch. I'm not your target audience to be fair. Like on most of your subjects, except for beer.
That's why we regrouped, and we have regrouped, and it is going full fledged, full forward. Atypical is back right now. And Atypical is probably going to stay. Atypical is the best name for it because it's not typical.
Truth.
Atypical. It is not typical. It's not your typical podcast. We're coming at a one-on-one right now when you're probably like, where's the group? We're going to continue doing what we're doing under that name. And that page is the biggest page. But everything is everything is kind of falling into place, and it was awesome to bring you in. I think, in a way, you'll never know. You'll never fully understand that you might have saved us podcasting. You might not ever know that. You might, and that's a little weird, but
you chose to bring me on, I would not, so you guys saved yourselves.
I would not tell Rhodey that he was terrible at podcasting, and that no. It got to the point where me and Rhodey thought we were like, can we carry this by ourselves? It's like the Rhodey and Drayson show. And it wasn't, Chris was sick. Chris had his things and Kaylin had her things and Jay.
Everyone's got your things. Like, you guys knew where the show was heading and you made the decision. It's you guys, man. The people fucking enjoyed listening to this.
Something that Rhodey will never know because he's not here in the room, but he worked his ass off to keep this thing alive too. True. I know, like I said, talked about doing a Barcadia show appreciation thing, which is where I pay for it, and I was not against that. Not against that at all.
That sounds like fun.
You two and Chris, and we go, we play nothing but arcade games, and of course our wives and girlfriends are invited, but we just go.
Dude, Amanda will fucking straight up tear your shit up.
Let's play some air hockey. Let's go. But yeah, that was not joking. We deserve a show appreciation thing. The show's growing again. But yeah, you came on, and we brought you on permanently, and the feedback, like, I have probably 6 listeners that I talk to on a regular basis, and I listen to them. I love you guys. You know who you are. Pat yourself on the back. Give yourself a good pat on the back, because you could call me right now and say, hey, I really don't like this, and I would be like, okay, cut it.
Nice.
Because I listen to these guys, because they know what they're talking about, and they all blew up about you, sir.
Dude.
They were like, holy shit, keep David on.
That's pretty awesome. I work at a very, very small place, very few employees. I don't get to interact with very many people.
Well, hopefully. I can get that going. I just got to send and they were like, oh, we love David. We love David. He's knowledgeable. He's smart. And then I got a certain response from another brewer that's been on the show 100 times, and he was like, keep that guy. He was like, dude, the dynamic is working. You've got 2 fucktards and 1 really smart guy that knows about beer. He was like, this is working out perfect. It sounds like 2, you know, 2 kindergartens asking the teacher questions. I was like, done. And people were laughing about a couple episodes ago or last week when I was like, David, please enlighten us on the English style. And then I went quiet while you talked about the English style. And people are loving this.
Like, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Honestly, I think that's the dynamic I bring to any conversation I'm in. I've spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and fuckloads of money like trying as many beers as I can. I think I may have bragged several times on Untappd. I've tried almost 900 beers so far, and that's definitely going to grow. But I want to try as much as possible because I really enjoy trying new beer. New beer is the thing for me. I don't find something that I like and just like stick with it and never change. I want to try something that's going to challenge me. I want to try things I don't like and see what it is I don't like about it. Eventually, I'd love to be, you know, a BJCP judge and be able to judge a bunch of different styles, maybe, you know, do competitions, things like that. That would be really cool because then I get to try things no one's ever brewed before. You get to try a lot of homebrew. You get to try things. You can pick out flaws. It's a learning experience. It's not just let me sit back on my laurels and just reflect on all the beers I've had. It's what's coming next, and that's what the exciting thing is for me about beer.
It's try what's
next, yes. What someone has made in their home, and just fucking enjoy the experience.
Listen.
Beer is not just a single experience.
Ever.
It was a brew. Before it was even a brew session, it was an idea in someone's mind. They did the research, put it together, and brewed it. They fermented it correctly. They presented it to you correctly. You enjoyed it, and then you talked about it. It's several experiences.
You know what blows my mind? Okay, remember, take yourself back 10 years. Let's pretend craft beer, before it even started, right? You're sitting there, you're staring at a menu. Every single person that's listening to this, every single person ever, would look at a menu and pick a new item. They would look at the items and be like, oh, I want to try this new item. They want to try something new. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try this. But beer has taken so long for you people to just look at a menu, try something new. And David is preaching the ultimate thing. I can be at a bar that has 47 things of Peticolos and a new beer that I've never tried before. And I guarantee you that new beer will probably be one of my choices.
Exactly.
You are, it's beautiful. That's why we latch on to you. And it's the same way.
I will be honest, part of what drives me is collecting new beers in my Untappd. I mean, that's the coolest part of the hobby is collecting.
If you want to go ahead and there's probably some people I don't believe we've talked about Untappd.
Untappd is an app you can buy. It's pretty much in the App Store and Android and everything.
Untappd. Yep, Untappd.
And it's a free app. And basically what you do is anytime you try a new beer, you'll type the name of that beer in, and maybe sometimes the brewery, and it'll look that up for you. You'll find the exact correct beer. You log it. You can rate it on a scale of 0 to 5. If you really liked it, give it a 5. If you didn't like it at all, give it a 0. If you thought it was not quite as good as the other thing, you know, 3.5, 4, 4.5, I think it goes in quarter increments, so you get like 4.25. But you basically and it also leaves a space for you to take notes on that beer. So if you're trying a bunch of different styles or trying one particular style and you're trying a bunch of different breweries, you can say, I like this one. It was dry. I didn't like this one. It was way too sweet. I like this one, but something was off about it. You can leave all those notes so that you can go back to it and reference it when you're not fucking drunk. and then you've got basically a beer journal right in front of you. And then you can add photos. You can say where you drank it. Share it with all your friends. They can comment on it. It's Facebook for beer.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is. Untapped. So you hear us talking about that a lot. We got, you know.
You can add David.
Right. And David. You can add friends on there. So you if you Brody. Want to, I'm. Shit, I forgot. I don't even know what I'm on there as. I maybe work boots 09.
Work boots 09. You can add me, Mr. J Tyree. You can add Rody D Rody. I don't even know his year's name. Don't care.
Add us on there, dude.
Find Rody. There's not that many R O H D E's on there.
R O H D E. That's something I learned recently. It's not R H O D E. Okay, so it's work boots 09. W is capitalized, B is capitalized, 09 are just fucking numbers.
You want to know one of the best parts about Untappd for you people that are listening? The best parts is if you're able and you log that beer, the next day when you wake up and you're like, all I can remember is how beautiful that beer tastes, which Rody and I are dealing with a little situation right now about a 16-ounce beer that was an IPA. We cannot remember what it was. And I guarantee you it's in his Untappd somewhere, but this month he's got way too many. Can't find it, but you're just like, you can wake up the next day and be like, oh, that beer was so good. What was it? Oh, Untappd. Scroll. Bam! Going to buy a six-pack.
There goes your blackout. You immediately got memories that are just like flooding back.
Got it. So check out Untappd. Don't miss that. And that's a good That's a good option for you. So, I would think so.
I need to fucking pee. You know, that's pretty odd. I think I'd got to go back to the very beginning, the very first beer I had.
Please tell me it's... I'm going to go against you. Please tell me it's a Budweiser.
Yes.
Damn. Oh.
Yeah, well... Shit, it's hard to remember. The very first time I had beer was in a situation where I should not have had beer.
Yep.
I was young. I think
that's all for us, yes. Don't feel bad.
That's all I'm going to say. It was a bad night. People went to jail. There was a police chase and a blockade.
Where the hell were you at?
There was a bonfire. I was very young and I was at home. Shit went down. It wasn't just going to be like, oh, no, he wasn't there. Nothing was happening. There were plenty of people, so we were like, well, shit. Yeah, he had something to drink. It was a bad time.
What the hell?
So after that, I didn't have any beer until I got to college. It was a little bad. I'm not really going to – I don't think I should go into it because
– Yes, you should. This is emotional.
There are some – No, but there are like some police records and shit.
You have a police record for drinking Coors Light when you were a teenager?
I do not. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
Thanks to my freaking awesome, amazing brothers who were wise beyond their years in protecting me. But flash forward to college where I was very odd. I was a year ahead in every grade going through school. Makes so sense. I was always the young kid.
That doesn't surprise me
also
at all.
Being the youngest of my family, that placed a large complex on me going through. It's like, well, I'm the youngest. Do I need to prove myself or do I need to just play like, oh, I'm just a little kid. Who cares? So that idea was bouncing around pretty much the entire time I was growing up. Exactly.
Planted.
So freshman year, I'm young. I don't have, obviously, an ID. I mean, well, I've got an ID, but I was 17 my first semester. in college. Couldn't even freaking buy cigarettes. I was very young. So my brothers, anytime they were in town, would fill up their fridge with Natty Light. And, you know, some people call that beer now. But that was what I experienced.
No offense to the Natty Light drinkers. It's truth. Just water, whatever.
It got you drunk. Yeah. And to be honest,
still does.
In college, you know, kudos to those of you guys having craft beer in college now. I did not have that luxury.
I'm damn sure not going to pay craft beer prices for beer pong. That ain't happening.
There was a time when it was just crackers and ketchup.
Yeah, I'll go buy Miller Lite if we're playing beer pong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not paying for
Paul's bouncing beer on pong. The ground. I mean, you might as well drink sewage anyway.
Yes.
But so I had that to get drunk off, and I figured out real quick getting drunk should not be the goal. Now, I am not ashamed to say I had the standard college experience where getting drunk was the goal on several occasions. I've got to say the very first beer that caught my attention as far as craft beer was St. Arnold's Christmas Ale. That's the first beer I took the effort to remember what I was drinking.
Interesting.
And it was good.
St. Arnold's Christmas beer.
You know, anytime it came out a certain time of year, and when it came out, I would get excited, you know, like it was, you know, some TV show about to come back on for the new season or something like that. Like, it got me going, and when I got my first, you know, six-pack of Christmas ale when it came out, and I was like, all right, I got Christmas ale. I'd put it on fucking MySpace and Facebook. Yep. Fucking MySpace.
Yep.
Jesus. What did we think?
I understand.
What were we thinking?
Understand.
Anyway, so I got that beer and I started kind of appreciating that a little bit more, and I maybe branched out, you know, two or three other different beers that I would see on tap. And then my wife, who through that entire phase had been my girlfriend long distance, and then we finally tied the knot, decided to get me a homebrew kit for my birthday.
Was that a Mr. Beer?
It was not a Mr. Beer. It was a Midwest Supplies, which is an amazing homebrew group. But she got me a very, very nice kit from them that came with an amber ale recipe. We brewed that up one day. Made the house smell like heaven.
Amber ale, apparently. Oh, God. If you want to make a brew that make your ale smell like heaven, amber ale.
Amber ale, yeah. It's a very easy, very simple, very, you know, it's easy to do that well. And it makes a good beer. Okay. It makes something that you're interested in. So we brewed that, and I totally fell in love with it. I mean, my wife gave me the best gift ever. She didn't just give me a beer kit. She gave me a hobby. She gave me a purpose. And so we brewed that. I branched out. I found a couple other kits that I really liked. We brewed a clone of Rogue's Dead Guy Ale, and did pretty good with that. And that was, I think I mentioned that on an earlier show. We were getting into The Walking Dead, so I called it Walking Dead Guy. Yep. And
he just took off.
That was also the season that Johnny Manziel was fucking tearing it up on A&M. A&M's team. He won the Heisman, so I made a wheat beer called Hefe Heisman.
Hefe Heisman.
And, you know, I found the right kind of message boards on homebrewtalk.com. I found the TexAgs homebrew board. And I found a community of people that enjoyed beer as much as I found myself enjoying it, and dude, it snowballed, man. It wasn't just about brewing, you know, as much as possible. It was about brewing really good beer, and I didn't want to be someone who brewed, you know, a couple of times and oh, that was just a fad and it faded away. I realized at that point this is something that's more intense. I could make it as much about beer as I wanted to, and as much about what I enjoyed about beer as I wanted to.
Right.
And what I really enjoyed about it was making it better every time, because the first couple batches were shitty.
that's one of the things about you that has always struck me is you're one of the ones that could tell me, hey, that's bad.
Yeah. There are off flavors, you know, that you can taste. There are things that are amazing you can taste. And the goal was to figure out what those were.
I feel like you're a guy that made a bad batch and either drank it yourself, never shared it, and flushed it. And I feel like you would never give it to me because you understand and you know quality.
Right. The very first batch, I am embarrassed to say, a lot of our friends took and made souvenirs of. I printed up labels for that first batch. There's a website called grogtag.com.
You can make your own.
And you can make your own label. And, of course, the first one was Johnny Manziel's Lunar Ale, which is our amber.
Nice.
And we were all about fucking puns at that time, and especially about football, Aggie football. I think we did Hefe Heisman, and then we did Sean Porter's Wrecking Brew, which is a porter. So we were all about the football puns at that time. But, you know, we made a big deal about it. We that first batch was not great.
It's never supposed to be, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it was a learning experience, and, you know, honestly, I walked away with it. I walked away from it with a lot more appreciation for the craft. It's not just, you know, pouring water onto grain, and then you add some hops that is a magical, you know, freaking flower, and then you put it into a vessel for a long time. I got a much more intimate introduction into what actually goes into a beer.
Hell yeah.
And that's what attracted me. It's like every single element of this I have control over, and I can make exactly the way I want to, and that's what I strove to improve. Strovened to improve was to make every step of it better in some way.
And that's part of the qualities that drove us to you, that drove you to where you are. And you make excellent beer now, because even if you don't like the style, which I might not like the style of the beer that he makes, I can still sip it and say, this is an excellent beer, but I will not order another.
Yes.
But it's an excellent beer. And that's, you know, when David first gave us his first term homebrew and he was worried about being flat. I remember that.
Right, yeah. The
it wasn't that bad.
Not all the bottles sealed all the way with the caps.
And we were just like, hey, man, this is good. But definitely, you brought us excellent beers. But your beer making abilities are probably going to get you farther than you will. We'll get here, but that was not the purpose. We didn't bring it here to make beer.
Man, I at this point now, I've gotten to where I research a lot. I'm constantly reading articles about, you know, like, this is a technique that we used, and why do we use it that way. There's a really cool website out there called Brewlosophy.
Brewlosophy.
And this guy goes through, he takes a lot of the common myths about homebrew. So if you have a little bit more experience, maybe about a year under your belt, you can check out this website. He takes some of those concepts that you learn about on message boards or from a friend, and he tests them. He actually goes through, he brews two identical batches and then varies it by the exact variable. Like, let's say extract versus all grain. Can you actually taste the thing? And so he goes through, he brews 11 gallons. He splits it between 5.5 gallon batches and tests people, craft beer lovers all the way up to certified cicerones that actually know their shit about beer. And he splits it apart completely statistically correctly.
That's
and tells
insane.
You whether or not there's an actual, you know, you should lend credence to what they're saying about it. And it's things like that that really motivate me, because you get a lot of people talking shit around a tap room that don't know what they're talking about. They know enough words. Oh, that's hoppy. And then they'll say there's all these fucking buzzwords, and they won't know what the fuck they're talking about. That pisses me off to no end. We heard some guy come into Dr. Jekyll's one day. Oh, give me the golden drock. And there were all kinds of other Belgian quads and triples that were available that you can, you know, taste and develop what you really like about a Belgian strong ale. And he was like, oh, I only want Golden Drock. It's the best. And this guy was so fucking close-minded, he latched onto this one beer, and that was his fucking status.
Oh, my God.
Fuck status, man. Taste what you want to, and enjoy yourself. Don't go in there and be a fucking dickhead.
You know what's crazy? I think that's the biggest gripe with craft brewers, period. Like, I'm an IPA guy, right? I am.
Yeah.
You know, you already know that, and Brody is too. But I'm not going to lop Brody in this category. But I'll walk in a place, new IPAs. I won't go snob mode. You guys don't got no IPA. Give me that whatever you... Yeah, it's not IPA. Yeah. I will try stuff.
Yeah.
And give it a shot.
You have to.
And then all of a sudden I find myself liking Brash is Pale Ale.
Yeah. I had never even fucking heard of Brash. That Pale Ale was amazing.
Yeah.
What was 100%. It
called? We know what it's called.
Cut. No, but that was an amazing freaking beer.
Yeah, you go back and listen to it.
But it was amazing.
We cannot possibly remember all the beers we've tried, and if you think we can, then sorry.
I think it had some numbers in it. That's why I can't remember it, because I'm an engineer and numbers just bounce off my head.
What's Brash's Pale Ale called, Rody?
Easy seven.
Look at
that. That's. I told you. I've told everybody a million times. When I'm looking,
Rody's the encyclopedia.
I will walk through Total Wine and call Rody. Hey, have I tried this? And Rody's like, yes, Jason, you dumbass. I'm like, thanks, bro. Love you. And hang up and not buy it. But then I'll be like, hey, have I tried this? He's like, he gets really excited because he's like, no, get it, buy two. And I'm like, hell yeah.
No, but that's the point. Like, find what you like and constantly keep checking yourself. I mean. Seriously, I mean, you go into places that have 40, 50, 60, 80, 90, 100 taps on the wall. Try what sounds good. I mean, even if you've only had 5 or 6 beers in your life, if you've never drank any craft beer, if the only thing you've ever had is Bud Light, don't feel like this conversation is not for you.
You know,
try some flavors.
One of the things that I would push Bud Light people is Black Crown.
Yeah.
Like,
that's like, the same family. Like, they make it the same way, like, but it's got a completely different character.
It's actually... I haven't had one in a long time, but when it first came out, I tried it, and I was like, hey, this ain't that bad. It's pretty good. It had a flavor. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because flavor, you know, you like foods because of flavor. You like cheese sticks because they're greasy. You like French fries. You know, you go to, you get your waffle fries from Chick-fil-A. Oh, these are amazing. You go to Waterbury, you get those fries. You try all these different flavors. The problem is with beer, people just don't realize that there's also different flavors there. Brand loyalty is out the window.
It's not all yellow fizzy water. Yeah. For those of you wine connoisseurs out there, if you like a couple of different kinds of wine, there are so many beers that have wine characteristics in them.
Yeah.
You can try some.
That's insane.
But anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. That's my beer corner.
Climbing sound effect. Click, click, click. All right.
But
let's talk. Where did David meet Amanda at? Let's go.
David met Amanda through a series of very fortunate events. Amanda came from Flower Bluff, which is near Corpus. It's basically a suburb of Corpus, and she used to work behind the scenes at a band festival called South Coast Music Festival, which basically high school bands would come and perform. They'd get judged before. You know, yeah, all bands from all over would come and perform before UIL, which is basically the benchmark.
Yeah.
It's the star test for bands.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would perform, get judged before they go to UIL, and they learn what they need to work on and everything like that. So Amanda would work behind the scenes on stage, setting up for each new band and making sure all that stuff. Meanwhile, my dad had a recording business where he would record all of these concert bands, concert bands, choirs, different things like that, all over South Texas, including Corpus. And so he would record those same sessions that she was working behind.
Audio and visual?
Yes.
Visual,
we kind of got into towards the end of my high school career.
Bands and their marching band, that stuff's rough.
Oh, yeah.
I've done it. Been there, done that, played saxophone. We're going to talk about that another time. Did not play the alto saxophone. That did not happen.
Yeah. But he would record all that stuff, and so when Amanda was about ready to graduate, he approached her and was like, hey, I've seen you a couple of years now. And,
college or high school?
High school.
You're creeping on the high schoolers. My man. That's my man right there.
Well, he knew that she had done really well at trumpet. She'd, you know, gone to state, and she'd really set herself apart. And he's like, well, where are you thinking about going? And she was like, well, you know, I'm thinking about going to Kingsville or maybe, Sam Houston, whoever gives me the most money. And so my dad, aside from being a recording technician for KC Recording, was also the band director at UT Brownsville, which is where I'm from. And so he's like, well, you know, we needed some trumpet players. And so he gave her the most money, and she came down on scholarship. And so that's the story of how my dad basically found my wife for me.
That's awesome. So your dad sent her to your school.
Was not at that school. My parents stayed in the Valley, and I went to A&M College Station. And my brother, actually, who got his degree from A&M in business, decided that his real calling was to be a band director, just like my wife.
Okay.
So he went to a lot of the same classes and went through kind of the same program that Amanda did. And I don't know if many people really know about the Valley. There's not a whole lot of light-complected people down there. I mean to say there aren't very many white people. And so the white people kind of tend to stick together a little bit. So long story short, my brother and my future wife at that point kind of hit it off. And my brother would have house parties, and he would invite her over. And anytime I was down for a break, you know, like Christmas or New Year's or something like that, we'd hang out. We'd end up hanging out, and I met Amanda, you know, and immediately knew she was different from any other girl I'd ever met, and I knew that she was awesome. She spoke her mind, and it was really cool.
Ha.
And honestly, I mean, we hit it off. I really did like her from the first time I met her, and her stories that my brother would tell me about how, you know, she would just unembarrassedly be way fucking better than anyone else at trumpet, and not just. Well, I'm not even sorry about that. If you don't practice, you're just going to suck about it.
Hell yeah. Amanda's very confident. So yeah. Something I like.
That's the confidence probably.
Confident women, man.
Was the first thing that, like, that just caught my.
You're like, I'm going to be better. Yeah. I love that because I'm going to be better than you. And you're like, no, you're not. Yeah. And then you have that all. I'm better than you. No, you're not. And that's just such a. It's a great relationship.
And going through high school, you know, I knew, and especially high school band, I knew trumpets kind of had that persona, you know, and it was something that I picked up on pretty quickly. A&M is not short of women. There are women everywhere at A&M. None of them think for themselves. Well, none of the ones that I've found at parties or you know, met in class really think for themselves and are fucking confident about what they do. And immediately I picked up on that with Amanda, and it was awesome.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense, actually. It's like, wow, because yeah. I'm really good at reading personalities, and that completely makes sense.
It's refreshing.
So you two met each other, and then you dealt with the long-distance relationship, which is something one of our cohorts, Mr. Rohde, has also dealt with. So you two have a lot in common there, and you just don't even know it.
It's, you know, looking back on it now, fucking sucked.
Yeah,
long distance sucks.
So would you all get to hang out for a little while and then took off, or
exactly any time there was any kind of break of school, like we were, you know, trying to figure out where if I was going there, if she was coming here, if we were meeting somewhere, or you know, if I had like a 3-day weekend coming up, or if like I could push off a test, like fuck yeah, I was driving down there and. You know, that was back when gas wasn't, you know, $1.50 a gallon.
How far apart? How far apart were you?
So College Station in Brownsville is about seven and a half hours.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, there's only so many Tool CDs you can listen to on the way down to the valley before you listen to all of them.
Sober, and you're just like, nah.
Yeah.
I want to die.
But I mean, we made it work. We knew it was worth it.
And now and then when it all comes to the exit point. And the when it's all the award is finally done, you're like, this is it.
Yeah.
And that's
when we both graduated and right before we were about to get married, it was the first time we'd ever been in the same city together, let alone live together. And it was one of those testing moments where you're like, oh shit, this is what everyone talks about on the TV shows and you know, on fucking, you know, Friends and shit. Like, oh, I wonder if we can live together successfully. Dude, having your best friend in the same house is the shit.
It's crazy because luckily I have the reference of more than one. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't, but I have the reference of more than one. And when you're actually living with your best friend, as you just unquote unquote, everything is fine.
Yeah.
But when you're not living with your best friend and your soulmate, it's not fine. Mm-mm. And then when you finally get a taste of fine, you're like, this is it. This is what it was designed for.
Exactly. This is what it meant to be. This whole time, we're like, oh, shit, I wish I was there. Half of our conversation was like, fuck, I fucking miss you. This is shitty. I can't believe I can't just go there right now. Why can't you just be here?
Yes, sir.
Fuck. It's really hard to fall in love, but it's...
That's why.
It makes it so much better when you actually finally get to have that person there.
And then you are probably one of the more fortunate ones that has your wife also interested in craft beer. Because that doesn't...
I am.
That doesn't necessarily...
Every time I mention that, I am just exceedingly blessed. Yes. Because everyone's like, oh yeah, I made that first batch of beer on the stove. And my wife was like, no, you take that to the garage next time. What are they smelling? What the fuck are you brewing to fuck up that? My wife smelled that the first time. She's like, ooh. I think that's a direct quote.
I want to smell it. I just wish we could climb it and bake it and live in it. Some kind of elf quote. Trying to go with a Will Ferrell elf quote, but I ain't got it.
Yeah, but it's... I was really, really fortunate. My wife, my brothers, who are older than me, I'm the youngest. My brothers had homebrewed before. They'd done two or three different batches of beer, and they were pretty good. To be honest, they were much better than my first batch of beer. And at that time, I wasn't really responsive to homebrewing. By the time I got around to it to myself, man, it caught me like crazy. And my wife brewed that first batch with me, and she's been brewing pretty much every single batch since then. So that's why when you go to New Main Brewing, you'll see we're a husband and wife homebrewing team. She very much participates in Brew Day.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lifting involved. There's recipe creation. I tell her, you know, what do you look for in this particular style of beer? She'll describe what she wants to drink, and I'll be like, you know what? You make a really good point. Let's brew that beer. And it's not just like, oh, yeah, you should do this, whatever, and then that's her involvement. That's not the case.
No.
She enjoys every step of it. She enjoys smelling it. We use the spent grains on our compost. It's a joint venture.
That's something that people will not understand.
Most people do not. Anytime someone brings that up, I always say, yeah, you know, Yankee Candle or whoever,
they
need to make a scented candle that smells like brewing because it's heaven. I love the smell of brewing and mashing.
One of the things that bothers the hell out of me was 4 years ago, you know, this is nothing to anybody, but I used to go to RAR 4 or 5 years ago. There was no beautiful women at all. And now you go, and there's 100 of them, and I'm like, y'all get the hell out of here. None of y'all know nothing about this. And I do the double negative. None of y'all know nothing about brewing this beer. Get your asses out of here, you fucking hoes. No, Amanda knows her stuff, and it's even greater. It probably bonds you even stronger, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's so cool to have a, you know, and be like, hey, Amanda, what do you think of this? She's like, oh, I love it. And you're just like, hell yeah.
Just listening to the Barrel Age show. We were, you know, flying off on freaking cloud nine, just talking about some bullshit that didn't even fucking matter. So this beer here that we're drinking that we need to get back to is 4,000%, and it's 3 gavés.
And why didn't it take her opinion seriously? As most girls, you're just like, really? Do you even know what that is? Do you even know what the hell you're drinking?
Yeah, it's a serious. She of all the beers we've tried, she's had pretty much every single one on Untappd.
Right,
and it's a gift, man. It's a gift to be able to include your wife and your best friend in something like that that means it so much to you.
And your dad is responsible for all that.
My dad is responsible. My dad and my brother.
That's crazy. Makes very little. It's amazing. Your life is kind of shaped by these little events. Like Kaylin and I.
Yeah.
She came to a party that she was not supposed to go to, and when she was walking by, I told my roommate, "I was like, yep, dibs."
Dibs.
Had no idea.
I'm wifing her.
It's like dibs. I was like, hey, and then we, you know, dibs is a joke because I would never call women that way. I never did. Yeah. I was just like, dibs. That cute. She's cute. We walked in the house and. She had to fight with her friend over me, which was hilarious. She told me they went in the back, and she was like, that guy is so cute. And they were arguing. And she came out. She's like, we didn't talk and everything. And a couple months later, she's like, yeah, I told her you were mine. I was like,
that's the cutest shit ever. I'm just going to say it.
So, yeah, the first time me and Caleb really had a conversation was over beer pong. So
that's Keystone. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. But I had drank an entire bottle of Jim Beam.
Oh, God.
Entire bottle. So... I was so hammered.
If Jim Beam was a person, I would punch him in his fucking cock. I hate Jim Beam.
I went through a serious Jim Beam and Coke phase, man. I'd get off work, one of those, though. I'd just do 2 shots, half a Coke, 2 shots, good. I went through that. I'm going through a phase right now where it's get off work and have one community Barrel Age Legion. That's all it takes.
Shit.
One.
Yeah, I bet that's all
that's
it
a
takes.
Bad, that's a bad phase to be in. I literally get off work, walk straight to the fridge with my ties still on.
Yep.
And then I'm good. And I'm like, this is a bad phase to be in. It's a bad phase to be in. But
well, the phase of work I'm in is I bring up my homebrew and all my coworkers drink it and be like, man, that's good beer. And I can't fucking positive feedback on my beer. And like, well, maybe it is good beer then. I'll drink some.
Telling you. We've been telling you. You need to make that, need to take the next step. Don't know exactly what it is, obviously.
You know, honestly, this is a good step to take. Like I said, my wife introduced me to craft beer and homebrewing, and the next step is sharing it with as many people as I can. And
yeah.
Up to this point, all my friends, I love all of my friends. I made some amazing friends back home in the Valley and definitely at A&M. And a lot of them are in Houston now, which makes me very sad because I would love to be brewing out my ass as much beer as I can to share with all my friends. But all of them live in Houston, and I can't always fucking get down to Houston. So, if you know, it was really fortunate that you guys found us, because I was actually at a point in my life where I was like, you know, a lot of my friends have moved away.
That's where I was.
I don't get
to
see them.
You guys signed a 30-year house note, right?
Yeah, we did.
Don't run off.
We're sticking
don't
around.
Don't run off on us. No, but, yeah. Kaylin, we both, Kaylin, Lisa, all of us love you guys. Don't run off on us.
We love you guys.
Yeah,
right back,
it's man. Amazing how that, it's like I said, it's weird. And people, you know, people that believe in God, Muhammad, whatever you believe in, it's just amazing how things can, this wave, and you're just riding this, you're riding this life wave, and you're like, you know, you get really panicked. You're like,
yeah.
This, you're doing something new. Like, I just recently started a new job, and when I got laid off, I was freaking out.
Dude, it takes over, man.
Yeah.
It's something that you just kind of come to realize pretty quickly. Like,
this is something insane. This is completely true, too. 100% true. You ready for this?
Cool.
I went and did my interview. I drove home. I missed my exit. It's like, oh, why did I miss my exit? Dumb. Whatever. Because I was emotional. I was super. I'm always emotional. I'm a very emotional guy. You probably either already know that or will know that. But I missed my exit. So I hit Ballpark Way, and I was like, I'm going to take this exit. And I hit the exit. I stop. And a truck for the company that I just interviewed at passes me.
Nice.
And I called my wife super happy, like super happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, it's over. I was like, it's done. It's over. She's like, don't you have a second interview? I was like, yeah, it's over. I have a second interview. It's over. And I had a second interview. That went fine. I was like, oh, and there I am sitting at the desk. And
dude,
that really happened.
That's
and the
so
same
cool.
way with meeting you guys. It was just like that stuff just happened. It's crazy, you know?
It's put in front of you, and it's a test in the moment, like, to be like, do you have what it fucking takes to move your life in this correct direction?
Like, I'm sure you were, you know, you're like, we need some friends. We need to do this. We need to do that.
Yeah. It had really come to a head. Like, I felt kind of isolated. I no fault at all to my friends. They were moving on to bigger and better things, and I'm so happy for them and proud of them. But I didn't have them to hang out with every weekend.
And it sucks.
And it sucks. Of course, I've got my best friend, Amanda, and it's really cool hanging out with her and everything like that. But every now and then, we want to have a friend in common to share something with. And it had got to a point, like, it had even gotten to a point where it was like, why the fuck am I even homebrewing? Like, we can't drink 5 gallons between the two of us as often as I want to brew.
Hell yeah.
And it was just, it was this point where, like, I need some fucking friends. And then Wade texted me out of the blue after, like, the worst fucking weekend ever. And we got new friends. We got Wade and Sean. We got
it's
you guys.
Podcast.
We got this fucking podcast. I'm now talking to people I have never even met before. I am inside your car right now. I'm inside your earphones. I am at the gym with you. Thank you for inviting me into
so
your
true.
Fucking head. This is so cool.
So crazy.
So it really, I mean, exactly like you said, it happens right before your eyes, and you make the decision to take that leap.
Yep. And you're just, it goes that way. You think about what you want, and it goes that way. You're like, whoa. Like I said, we need a replacement. And then you're not a replacement, actually. You're where we need to be. And now things are getting bigger, better, faster, stronger. It's like, holy crap.
It's Daft Punk all up in this shit.
I get the emails. I get the things. And I will share that all with you whenever you want to. I'm an open book, too. You just got to, hey, man, I want access to this. I don't hand it out because I have, for the last 3 years, done it all myself pretty much. I've never had anybody gung-ho as you and Rhodey are, so you have to like, hey, I want this.
Well, I'm still young and new to this whole thing, so I still think it's fucking great.
Here, have it all. Have this, have that. But no, this has been fantastic. This is exactly what we wanted.
I'm happy to be part of it.
Yep.
Honestly, this is the most fun I've ever had brewing and drinking.
Atypical is going to grow again. It's already growing. It's already fucking whatever. We're going to grow. We're going to have major things happen in the future. Uncontrollable. We're going to get Amanda back on. We're going to get... I can't even breathe when I think about what's happening. I don't want to talk about it because fucking Valera's coming on. It's
dude,
like,
honestly, I'm not from this area, and hearing that music, I wish I was fucking there when they were blowing up, because that sounds like amazing music, man. I would have been all about that.
I can't believe that they have the tenacity, the balls, the whatever, to give us a shot.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Like, they have no idea. I mean, I was involved in the music scene when they were blowing up. We were one of the bands that was below them, wishing we could be them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I want to be so bad. And I loved Aaron, and I loved Ryan, and I loved all those guys. And I was like, oh, I want to be you. And they were on tour, on Warped Tour, and they're going to come give us a chance to talk to them, and it's going to be epic. It's going to be a great fucking show. And
that's really fucking exciting.
You guys are going to, you know, you're going to get all wet and turned on by this. It's going to be awesome.
I know I am.
I'm already.
Yeah.
I've been trying to stop it for the last week.
I got a fan down there. You guys don't even know.
Matt Swansea, who's been on the show, is going to get to play guitar with him.
Swansea is the shit. Yeah. I love that show, man. Such a fucking awesome show.
He's so badass, Swansea. And he's going to be playing with him, so he's going to come down. He's the one that's making this happen, so I'm probably going to have to, you know, do some nasty things with him. And I don't really want to talk about it, but it's going down. Swansea, love you. I love you. It's going down. But we've got that coming up. We've got some other stuff coming up. And like I said, David is 100% part of the podcast now.
Absolutely.
We got David.
You guys are stuck with me.
David, Chris, Brody, and me, and we're going to maybe take some pictures. And we're going to have Amanda on as much as possible because we need a female's perspective. We're going to have...
We got to get someone in line when we get shit-faced.
Yep. We're going to have some... Hopefully, we're going to have some more brewers. David is very much a badass when it comes to booking people, and now the doors are open. Like, there's no restraints. Mm. He can say, hey, Tyree, I've got Satan coming on next week. I'll be like, cool, man. Let's do it.
Let's see what he's about.
There's no restraints.
What's Satan's deal? Tell me about Satan.
We're going to have some... other stuff coming on. We're talking about homebrewers of the week. We're on our way to Dr. Jekyll's. It's blowing up.
It's doing good, man. It's fucking thrilling. The coolest thing about this whole hobby, I would have never been able to get any kind of response out of people like Wade and Sean, or, you know, Deep Elm has answered my emails, and I've talked to the guys from Collective, and I've brewed a batch of beer with fucking Shannon. This would have never happened had I not been able to just, you know, be like, you know what? I'm all in. Let's fucking do this. Let's start a blog. Let's start talking about this shit and get it out there. And having people listen and tell us that they like this show.
That's a final thing. If you guys have a brewery or something you want to hear on the show, I've never thought about that until right now. If you guys have a brewery you want on the show, you're like, I enjoy their beer. Francona, I enjoy Odell, I enjoy whatever. Hit us up, email, Facebook, whatever. Let us know. We'll reach out.
A lot of brewers are really cool coming on and talking.
We'll send our army. Some things I don't tell my cohorts, but we're not far from being able to do Skype or phone interviews. We need to work on that. I do. I need to sit down and work on it. It's more of that stuff. It's like, oh, I need to set a whole day aside to sit down and see if this will work and how it's going to work. But we're not far from doing that. So, like, you're like, oh, I really want to hear Left Hand. We're not far from me, David, and Brody sitting down doing a 10-minute interview with Left Hand and then cutting and editing it and letting you guys hear it.
Sonoran, we had their white chocolate last episode.
That was amazing. To reach out to those guys.
Dude, that would be so easy once we got them on the show and doing Skype. There are so many podcasts that do Skype.
That's a serious...
It's going to happen.
Shit. I have to say, that has to happen.
So
we have to reach out to those
If you
guys.
Want that kind of content, if that's something you guys want to listen to...
Let us know. And don't forget...
Hit the
every
like.
Fucking post we do, hit the like button. It's so simple.
There are so many people out there that are going off and liking every fucking thing Kanye West is doing and every fucking thing, Wiz Khalifa.
Fuck their
All
battle.
Those people, I'm sure they're very entertaining. We are in your fucking backyard. If you want to come talk to us in person, you can do that at any of the bars we mention on this show.
Yeah.
Why not like our shit? We work really hard for this because we really enjoy it. We really believe in it. Fucking like us.
Just hit the like button.
Sorry.
Even if...
Didn't mean to get all mean.
You're completely fine. I know how many listeners we have. It's a shit ton. Just hit the damn like button.
It's that easy.
Go on our Facebook.
You don't have to come up with 140 characters that describe your desire to listen to us.
We just want you
to fucking like it.
We don't want you to
That's
share.
That's all you got to do.
Like us, like Division, like Beardos, like JJTM, Jerry Jonestown.
All the people we talk about love what they're doing. All the people that you read about on fucking BuzzFeed and shit are doing that shit because no one knows better than to not like that shit.
Yeah, you're in a little cell phone, scrolling, hit the like button, go to the next thing. You don't even got to listen. Just like.
There's plenty of drama right here at home. You don't need to like that shit from West Coast.
Well, we love you guys. This was actually a lot better than you probably thought it was going to be, wasn't it?
It was pretty fun, to be honest. Oh, yeah. I was going to be sitting here crying.
Another thing that's going to happen is David's going to do a one-on-one with his wife, Amanda.
Yep.
And that'll be the first, second show in almost four years. 4 years will be this May or June, except four or three. I don't even know. Fuck it. That I was not part of.
Damn.
Yeah. So it's in the...
That's going to be scary. I'm going to have the whole show.
There's less than five shows that I have not been part of. I know that for a fact.
Oof.
So, and then it'll be just you two. Yeah, that's what I'm putting the pressure on right now.
Hashtag bam, beer pressure.
Bam. But yeah, we're going to do the David and his wife, Amanda, and they're going to do the one-on-one. Bam. Just so you guys can get even more of a culture of what they're about and who they are.
Mm.
It's fun.
It's going to be good.
It's fun. We love you.
Excited.
Have a good night. Have a good day. Have a good morning. Have a good whatever the fuck you're about to do. And if you're going to work.
Have a good work day.
Yeah. Screw it.
Thanks, guys.
Love you.